Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Today on Home But Not Alone, we're talking about things your grandma lied to you about. Old wife tales. Yep, we've heard them all before, and they're easy to believe. I believe them. Whether they were passed down by grandma, who I'm sure wasn't lying to you intentionally, based on bad science, or even spread as a rumor by British military intelligence, what? These fictional tales have sometimes been adopted as facts, and today we're going to fact check them. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. This episode was inspired in part by largely by a conversation with my pastor, because I don't know, a couple of months ago, we're walking out of mass and we have some rather large set of stairs shortly after you get outside of the church. And someone, you know, we're walking with my kids and someone saw something and they wanted, oh, kids like this. So they said, oh, look. Hey, kids, it's a frog. Oh, look at this. Do you see the frog? Now, of course, my kids were like, there are frogs at places other than our house? What? Like, they were very confused, and they were also just focused on getting down the giant set of stairs. But
right.
The pastor then leans in and goes, oh, don't touch it. You'll get warts. And then he turns and looks at my wife, Jess, and goes, or maybe that's an old wives' tale. I don't know. And Jess looks right at him and goes, yeah, no, you can't get warts from frogs. That's not how it works. And
no, you get warts from toads.
There's something. I don't know. I tried to look all that up. All I know is this. My wife, the nurse and nurse educator who knows the science, was saying, no, you get warts from a particular virus that I will not mention in case children are listening, and I assume
right.
They are.
And then you should explain that.
Which I'm not going to do. But there's a particular virus that transmits warts, and no, you do not get that from touching the exterior of a frog. I have no idea how you get warts other than that virus, but I thought that's a fun conversation to have with my pastor as we're trying to get down these stairs, and some very slow, understandably so slow, older people were struggling to get down the stairs.
Right, right.
And I'm like, I just want to get in my minivan.
Did you let your kids play with the frog, though?
No, we were trying to leave. We were told to social distance. And so we were trying to do that.
Oh, that's true. That's
and
true.
So we were, you know, we're like, when you're told, hey, do this, we're like, okay, we want to show our kids how to do that. And also
there must be something about frogs at church, because last summer I brought my kids to church. We were going to like the outdoor confession or something, and we were super early, and so they were playing in the parking lot and there was a frog and they were chasing it all around. I let them play with it, but you know, we weren't in any kind of rush. But must be something about frogs in parking lots. All right, so I guess that one's an old wives tale.
All right,
I'm gonna have to say I probably will believe most of these, so lay it on me. What do you got?
All right, so here's one of the ones I found. All right, eating carrots will improve your eyesight.
True. Okay,
it's not true. It's false. it's false. And here's the thing. Okay, it says that this tale may have started during World War II when British intelligence spread a rumor that their pilots had remarkable night vision. And it was due to the fact that the pilots ate lots of carrots. They didn't.
I want to know who was in charge of coming up with that.
I don't know, but I really want to work in military intelligence if the job is to come up with that.
What ridiculous stories.
Yeah, they didn't want the Germans to know that they were using radar, this newer technology. So here's the thing, though. Carrots and many other vegetables that are high in vitamin A, they will help maintain healthy eyesight.
Okay.
But eating more than your daily recommended allowance or whatever your suggested amount won't improve vision.
No, that's too bad.
Is a great rumor apparently to spread in war times. So that's that's something all right, here's another one. Speaking of eyes.
Okay.
That's not a sentence I've ever said. All right. Speaking of eyes, now I've said it twice. Too much TV is bad for your eyes.
True.
False. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Watching TV, no matter how close you are to the TV, won't actually hurt your eyes. But kids who spend, you know, the research shows that kids who spend too much time watching TV, consistently more than 10 or so hours of TV, they're more likely to be overweight, aggressive, struggle more in school, things like that. But we did an episode about this, about screen time.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Yeah. And I brought up a whole bunch of research, most research I've done for anything, maybe even in college included. But I did so much research. And the conclusion is essentially this. It's not that screens cause like diabetes. I mean, I don't know a lot of people who think that looking at a screen physically causes diabetes, but
yeah, that doesn't sound right.
No, but I know like it's not that like it causes those sorts of things or depression or this whatsoever, right. Or whatever. It's the fact that typically when people are watching a lot of TV, they are sitting still a lot. They are being very passive. They are eating junk food. Like, so the part that's the worst part about watching too much TV for you is whether or not, like, did you go run a few miles? You know, if you go out, run a half marathon and then you're like, now I'm going to watch a movie on TV. There, you just ran a half marathon.
You're not going to be a couch potato by the end
exactly,
of the day.
Exactly. Exactly. But
wait a minute. If it's not bad for your eyes, what's the thing about the, don't they make those glasses for when you're looking at the TV or the computer or something? Or is that all a farce?
I think that, well, I can't, from what I read, it won't make your vision worse.
Oh, I see.
But it's just like, you could stare at a book for 10 straight hours and your eyes feel strained because you're using them so much.
Right.
Okay. So that's the difference.
Okay.
I should clarify.
All right. Okay. So it's not worse for your eyesight, but it could like, I guess the blue light could give you a headache or make you not sleep or something, but it's not going to make your eyesight worse.
Yes, that is an important clarification to make.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, it can have a detrimental effect, just not, you're sitting too close to that TV, your eyes
Why
are gonna...
do kids always want to sit close to the TV anyways? Like,
I don't know. You can't see the whole thing?
Something about it. They want their face like right there.
I really don't get it. I genuinely don't. You're missing, especially the size most TVs are. You are missing half of what you're watching. At least. All right, next one.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Cats can steal air from a baby's mouth.
How would that work?
I don't know, but...
This one doesn't sound believable, but this is a thing people used to believe?
At least used to, if not still do. I don't know. For the record, I got a lot of this stuff from like hospital articles written by people at hospitals. So this was not, So this was not just, this one I believe was from a hospital in Minnesota that they had an article on some of this stuff. So this was written by someone who works in the medical field.
Wow. Who felt that like people actually need to be told this.
Apparently someone does. Not me, but.
Okay. So why do people think that cats can steal the air from a baby's mouth? What's the deal?
All right. So what it talked about how like the story about it, the tale, if you will, goes back hundreds of years to a time when cats were very, very closely associated with witchcraft and evil spirits and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, okay. Like the black cat kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's anatomically impossible for a cat or any other animal to suffocate a baby by sealing the animal's mouth over the baby's mouth. That's just not a thing. That's, I don't, anyway.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it would work. Not that I would want an animal's mouth anywhere close to my baby's
mouth. No. And that's obviously one of the other points they made was that cats and other pets should always be supervised around small children and introduced to, especially a baby, gradually.
Yeah.
And that you should keep cats and other pets out of a baby's crib or bassinet for other safety related
reasons. Or any other dangerous things out of the baby's bassinet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't sleep the other night. So I'm watching some action movie from the 80s or 90s. And I was like, oh no, look at all the, or no, it was all the way back in the 70s. And they had a baby and I'm like, oh, look at all that stuff in the crib with the newborn who just came home today. Oh no. And then I realized, wait, that's like when I see somebody on TV shaking hands and I'm like, ah, the COVID, like, no, this is from a time before we knew about that. So,
right.
All right. Next one. When a woman is pregnant, extra weight out front means it's a girl. Weight around the hips indicates that it's a boy.
True.
No.
I'm just going to say true on all the ones that I believe.
Sure. It's false. It's false. It's primarily, you know, if a woman has a short.
Okay, hold on. Start back with it's primarily because you cut out for a minute.
Okay. It's primarily based on the length of a woman's torso. So if a woman has a really short torso, there's nowhere for the baby to grow but out.
Okay.
But a longer torso, you know, then there's more opportunity for the baby to grow not just out. I don't know how else you'd describe that, but that's, yeah. So
like side to side. I don't know.
I don't know. That's just, anyway. All right. Next one. All right. Feed a cold, starve a fever, or,
oh, my granny said
starve a cold, feed a fever, because it's heard both. It's been said both ways.
Huh? Which way does my granny say that? Then I don't know.
I've never met her. She sounds wonderful based on everything you've told me.
I think she says starve a fever, feed a cold. I think that's what she says.
Yes, those are all nonsense. Okay.
Okay.
Because both high fevers and colds can cause fluid loss. So you want to drink plenty of liquids, especially, you know, your fruit juices, vegetable juices, and especially water to prevent dehydration. And with both fevers and colds, it's fine to eat regular meals if you can, because missing those nutrients may only make a person sicker. So there is no...
Unless your kids are puking, then don't.
Well, but that's why I said... If you can, if someone can eat the food, if they can keep it down, because, an absence of nutrition is just going to prevent the body from having what it needs to fight the illness. Yeah, you don't starve an illness out. I don't know where that came from.
No, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, don't eat for a week. You'll feel better. Like,
then your fever will you'll feel better. Your fever will go away. Yeah, no, that's not how.
If I don't eat for an hour, I'm like, where are tacos? And why aren't they in front of me? Like, that's, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
All right, next one. Coffee stunts your growth.
Oh, I've told my kids this one.
Well, then you clearly believe it, but unfortunately, it is false. Coffee will not stunt your growth, which I believed until I, you know, read what a doctor wrote in this one article. And I was like, oh, okay. but too much caffeine doesn't belong in a child's diet because excess caffeine can prevent the absorption of calcium and other nutrients. So,
and make your kids bounce off the walls. Okay.
Well, yeah, obviously. But that whole idea, coffee stunts your growth. Caffeine actually doesn't have an impact based on what I read. Remember, for any of these, I am not a doctor, okay? I did not go to med school. This is just what I read from other doctors. And so, not other as in I'm one. Anyway, all right.
I understand
you usually do. A lot of people don't. and I don't blame them. Sometimes I just nonsense. Anyway, so that should be a bumper sticker. Sometimes I just nonsense. Do people have bumper stickers anymore? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I mean, I guess maybe some people do. I don't do bumper stickers.
I don't know. I've never had one. And whenever I see one, I just think of an old, oh gosh, what was his name? Dimitri Martin, the comedian. He had a joke years ago where he said, bumper stickers are just a great way to say to the person behind you, we will never be friends. Like, because it just puts your most, it often puts your most bold opinions on the back of your car, only to be, you know, read by someone who you will probably never talk to. And I'm like, okay, I, on one hand, I get it. And on the other hand, I see too many people where they're driving around cars and they have like bumper stickers from the 2004 presidential election.
Oh,
and I'm like, you know, half the people.
Right. You know. That's the thing. Once you put it on, it's too hard to get off. So why put them on in the first place?
You know, that's how I feel about shoes. So let's move on. sometimes I just nonsense. Anyway. Okay. Next one. Wait an hour after eating before swimming.
My Grammy has said this one, too.
Well, your Grammy would be speaking tall tales because it is false. According to the American Red Cross, it's usually not necessary for you or your child to wait an hour before going into the water. However, it is recommended that you wait until digestion has begun, especially if you've had a big fatty meal and plan to swim strenuously. So it's not, oh, you have to wait a half hour or, oh, here's this snack or whatever it is.
She would tell us we were going to sink if we if we didn't wait an hour after eating to swim. She told us we would sink right to the
bottom. Did she think the weight went after 30 minutes? Because it's still in your body. I mean, I suppose you've burned some of it off.
I don't know, but I believed her.
I know that you do burn some calories in the digestion process. Which is why celery has negative calories, which is just showing off. Stop it, celery. That's what I say.
I love celery.
Oh man, I've never been a fan. I don't know. Probably because it's good for me. But let's see. The Red Cross also advises against chewing gum or eating while in the water, both of which could cause choking, which makes sense. I don't know.
I agree with that.
Have you ever fallen asleep with a cough drop in your mouth?
Not that I can recall. I would think I would remember that as I would begin choking on it. Why? Have you?
Oh yeah. I've stopped doing it. I've been more careful, especially now that, you know, I'm an adult with children and I should be more responsible, but
you cannot afford to be choking to death on it.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it's hard enough to wake my wife up in the middle of the night anyway. I can't imagine that, you know, if I can't even get her attention with, you know, talking, but no, I've fallen asleep with a cough drop in my mouth and woken up and it's still like in the side of my cheek, just tucked over there. And I'm like, oh, that could have gone poorly.
And
it did not. So that's
always avoid things that could cause you to
that's
choke.
You know, that's a good policy. There's another bumper sticker. Okay. okay. Next one. If you cross your eyes, they'll stay that way.
I've heard this
from your Grammy.
From my Grammy, for sure. I think this is the perfect reason to say this episode is about your Grammy lying to you, because my Grammy told me most.
We should have just done this episode with me and your Grammy today.
I know. You should have just called her up and asked her to tell you some facts.
That would have been hilarious. So if you cross your eyes, they'll stay that way. That is false. About 4% of children in the United States have a condition that I cannot pronounce, so I'm not going to try to. But it's a condition in which the eyes are, as it's called, misaligned, giving them the appearance that they're looking in different directions. But crossing your eyes by yourself, manually doing it, if you will, it does not lead to you developing this condition. So.
I wonder if it's in any way bad for your eyes, because it doesn't feel very good when you cross your eyes. I can't imagine that it's like the best thing for you to do.
I mean, on one hand, I would say, and I don't know. So this is me guessing and saying, you know, on one hand, you're right. It doesn't feel very good. On the other hand, neither does stretching. So,
true.
Maybe it's just stretching your eye muscles. I don't know. Please.
I knew someone who used to do eye exercises.
Really?
Yeah, like you look up and then you look down and then you look up.
I prefer.
I don't know if that helped, but Yeah, so maybe that's like it exercises your eyes, though I don't know why you would need to exercise them to look in opposite directions.
I prefer I don't exercises. It's where I don't exercise. It's just much easier.
Oh. I thought you were going to say like where you close your eyes. And
oh, face. That's good, too. Oh, that would have been a better joke. Okay, that's you and my wife are always making my jokes better. It's like, should have run by you first. Okay, another one. Thumb sucking causes buck teeth. It causes your teeth to separate.
And pacifiers.
Okay. Here's what's interesting about this one. It says true ... and false. I copied that straight from the article because I wanted to remind myself.
Okay.
All right. It says thumb sucking often begins before birth and genuinely continues until and up to age 5 or so. If a child stops around the age of 4 or 5, no harm will be done to the jaws or teeth. However, parents should discourage thumb sucking after the age of 4 when the gums, jaw, and permanent teeth begin their most significant growth. Therefore, after this age, it is possible for thumb sucking or finger sucking or pacifier sucking to contribute to your teeth having a gap in them.
All right. That makes sense. Yeah. You know, it's extended thumb sucking and it's those adult teeth.
Yeah. And I have heard that pediatric dentists tend to be like, don't tell people this because we want kids to stop by 3. And then it's like, but they have a window. There's a little bit more of a window.
Sometimes, like, I just tell us what we need to know so we can make our decision. Don't try to manipulate us into thinking these wrong things. Come on.
Gosh, what world do you live in? No, that's definitely not the world we live in.
That is what our world is all about.
I made the mistake of getting on Facebook for 10 minutes earlier today. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, get off. Oh, what did I do?
Shut it all down. Walk away.
This was a bad idea. And it started off good, too. Like I said something and people are like, this is a good idea. And then after just a few minutes, someone was like, hold on, I need to pick one word you said, take it out of context and ignore all logic. And then I'm going to yell at you about it. And I'm like, why am I here? This is a bad idea. Anyway. All right.
Walk away.
Next one. When a woman is pregnant, having darker nipples indicates that she is having a boy.
Don't know that I've heard that one before.
I think I have, but it's not true. It's not true. Again, there are words that are medical that I do not know how to pronounce, and I'm not even going to try.
Okay.
But basically, it has to do with an increase in the hormone secreted by the placenta and the ovaries.
Okay.
And that's it. So darker colors, whether they be a woman's nipples, birthmarks, moles, beauty marks, as if you need to say that again. We know what a mole is. Anyway, they appear darker sometimes as a result of a particular hormone that I did not go to medical school and cannot pronounce.
Here's one that somebody told me once, is that here's how to tell if you're having a boy or a girl. You take a needle and you tie it to a string and then you hold it over the pregnant woman's wrist and just like dangle it there. And if the needle waves left and right, then you're having a boy. But it waves round and round in circles, then you're having a girl.
That sounds like a great way to stab yourself while getting bad information.
I just think it's so funny that there's like, I feel like you've already told us another old wives tale about having a baby. Like I feel there's so many old wives tales that try to tell you whether you're having a boy or a girl, and none of them.
No. Oh, I know a good way. Here's a good way to find out if you're having a boy or a girl. Okay. Give birth to the baby. That's it.
That's a good way.
And then you can tell. Okay. That's a good
way. That's true.
There's also,
we don't find out until we give birth. I know some people do find out.
But that's one of those where sometimes people are, and I don't understand why, a little judgy about like find out, don't find out. Like they're judgy, not necessarily about finding out. Maybe they're judgy. Why did you find out? Or why don't you guys find out? And I'm like, it really doesn't matter. It is entirely a personal preference.
Absolutely.
If anybody out there has ever been like, about that, don't do that, please. Thank you. Okay. I said it nicely.
Next.
All right.
You did say it
I ended nicely. We'll go with that. All right. One more quick pregnancy one.
Okay.
Don't breastfeed a toddler during pregnancy because the new baby needs all the nourishment it can get.
Oh, I know that one's false because I feel like I've had my midwife tell me that before. Like specifically, it's okay if you get pregnant, you can continue nursing this baby as long as you want. Or this toddler, as long as you want.
Well, unlike your Grammy, your midwife clearly studied, okay? Because yeah. That is also false. If a woman's healthy, then breastfeeding during pregnancy will not harm the baby or the toddler. It is possible that a doctor may recommend that a pregnant woman not breastfeed, but that would be as a result of the woman having some sort of nutritional deficiency or being underweight or at risk for preterm labor. So it has nothing to do with the toddler.
Right.
All right. Next one. Spicy foods can cause ulcers.
I don't know if that's true, but I don't like spicy foods.
I don't unless it's drowning in ranch. Then it's just,
yuck.
I love it.
I don't like ranch either.
Man. This podcast is just turning in, not just this episode, but the podcast in general is just turning into, hey, what foods do Tim and Sarah dislike? That's what it's.
That's pretty much true. Yes.
It is false. Spicy foods cannot cause ulcers. They may aggravate ulcer symptoms in some people, but they don't actually cause them. It's a bacterial infection or an overuse of pain medication such as aspirin. Those are usually what cause ulcers.
Okay.
All right. Let's just do one more. Cracking knuckles can cause arthritis.
I've heard that one too.
Okay.
That's what my Grammy always told us as kids. Don't crack your knuckles.
Well, your Grammy's gotten all of them wrong because like every other one, this is false. In case anybody didn't catch on to that, every single one of these we debunked. It was not, none of these were true. But habitual knuckle cracking can cause swelling and decreased grip strength. And it can result in some hand functional impairment or whatever.
But it's not the same as arthritis.
But it's not arthritis. Those are two different things. So,
Okay. So I should listen to my Grammy and not crack my knuckles, but not because it's going to cause
arthritis. Just like, you shouldn't watch 10 hours of TV a day, but it's not because it's going to make your vision worse. It's because there's not 10 hours of good stuff to watch. So, that's anyway.
Right. So many better things you could be doing at that time. All right, you guys. Well, my Grammy lied to me. She didn't lie. She believed these things. It came from an honest place. But let us know if your grandma told you any of these old wives' tales and whether you believed her. Or, hey, maybe you have some different ones that you heard that we haven't heard of yet. Go ahead and share those with us. Leave a comment on our social media. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. So we want to thank everybody for listening to this. Do us a favor, subscribe to this podcast, share it with somebody. We'd really appreciate that. Sarah, where can people find you?
ToJesusSincerely.com is my website, and I'm on social media at ToJesusSincerely.
And you can find me at ChasteLove.org or on Instagram and Facebook at TheChasteLove. Now, as John Paul II wrote in his letter to children, you think of your mother who gave you birth and of your father. Both of them provide for the family and for your upbringing. For it is the parent's duty not only to have children, but to bring them up from the moment of their birth. And remember, you're never alone.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.